The Metropolitan Planning Organization is called to order. It's Wednesday, June 10, 2009. We're at the Community Center Sierra Room at 851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify CAMPO staff in writing, and we will be able to accommodate you because your input is extremely important to us. Now, relative to the agenda, item A, Kathleen, can you call a roll and determine a quorum?
Chairperson Desjardins?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Eswine?
Here.
Member Aldean?
Here.
Member Carpenter?
Present.
Member Kroll?
Here.
Member Foltz?
Here.
Member Mallory?
Here.
Ex officio Member Taylor?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next is item B, action to approve the minutes of the May 13, 2009 meeting. Do we have any comments on those minutes? Not, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, we have two.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter. And Mr. Eswine. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes of May 13 are approved. Next, item C on the agenda, modification. This is a tentative schedule that we have before us for the meeting. CAMPO reserves the right to take items in a different order to accomplish business in the most efficient manner for the public. Patrick, do we have any need to alter the agenda?
No, not from staff.
Okay. Anybody in the audience wish to move any agenda items? Okay. I think we'll stay with our agenda. Item D, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO, but not on items agendized for this item. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Okay, next agenda item E, disclosures. I think I already did. But okay. Is anybody in the public or out in the audience have any public comments you wish on what I just read? Okay. Thank you. Okay, item E, disclosures. Any member of the MPO that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO. Chair has no comments on that. Anyone else have anything they wanted to share with us? Okay, none. So item E is handled. Next, we'll go to item F. Okay, and that is item F1. And the subject title is action to approve the proposed amendment to the CAMPO public participation plan. I think Patrick, Dan, you're up there all ready to go.
Yeah, I have a few things to pass out. Actually, there's a few tonight, so we're going to do it on an item-by-item basis, not to overwhelm all of you. Sure. For some reason, this software is going to cut off a little piece of it, so I just want to make sure that everyone has a complete document. So. But it's nothing new. This was brought as an informational item at the previous meeting, and I pointed out the changes that were being made, but basically it was to address the concept of administrative modification as something that would apply to the Transportation Improvement Program as well as the Regional Transportation Plan. And basically, something that's a minor change would not require a 30-day public comment period. In fact, we could just bring it to the board for approval. And we did have a 45-day public comment period as required for the change to the public participation plan. We also held a public informational meeting, and no comments were received at that time.
We have any questions from any of the members? None. Any comments or questions from the audience? Guess we have none. I think this is rather clear, as Dan pointed out. So with that, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve this agenda item.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to hang on here. Just let me get the right wording. I wouldn't want to say the wrong thing. Move to approve the proposed amendment to the Campo Public Participation Plan. That's hard to say.
Yeah. Okay, I have a second from Member Aldean. Okay, all those in favor of this proposal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, now on to item F2, and that is an action to authorize the publishing of the proposed FY 2010 DBE goal of 0% due to the lack of registered DBE vendors in the Campo area. And I think before I ask, and I think Patrick will handle this, again, I do have a little bit of concern that we have no firms registered in the five categories, or is it four categories that we have. But that, in fact, is true. And I think it's pertinent that the public understand if there are any minority businesses that are interested in registering as a DBE, that opportunity is always available to them. So anyway, Patrick, you want to go ahead and handle that one?
Yes. I, instead of trying to repeat anything that's in here, the chairman did have some questions for me, and I believe I answered them to his satisfaction, but he asked me to share a few points of information with you folks. The Campo, this is not the first time we've done this. This is an annual requirement of Campo because Campo is now the designated recipient and grantee of federal funds. So this this document pertains only to the transit-related funds that we process. The other federal funds, such as the PL funds that are used to carry on Campo planning activities that are administered through Mr. Taylor's office at NDOT, are actually fall under the responsibility of the Nevada Department of Transportation because they are the recipient of those funds and they pass it through to organizations like ourselves. Indeed, this is the method that we've employed is one that is accepted by the Federal Transit Administration and actually is consistent with that used by the Nevada Department of Transportation. In fact, we have used their registry to determine the number of qualified firms that are DBE firms in the geographic area. And I'd like to point out that that while there are some minority-owned firms in this geographic area, number one, they do have to be registered with the State Department of Transportation to be qualified, and number two, there are other limits placed upon them, including the limitations on the net worth of those businesses, that once you reach a certain level, you are no longer considered a DBE, regardless of the race or gender of the owners. If I missed anything else, Mr. Chairman, please remind me, but I think those were the points that we covered.
I think that covers those my concerns and questions. So let me open it up to any of the members of Campo for questions or so on of Patrick, or perhaps Member Taylor as well, I'm sure has knowledge in this particular area. Anyone? Okay, let me open it up to members of the public. Anyone in the audience have any questions concerning DBEs and particular goal and item that we're faced with here? Okay, looks like we have none. So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve this particular agenda item.
I'll do it. Mr. Chairman, one, I'd like to thank you for having a public discussion on this item and talking about it in a little bit more detail and just what's in the planning document. So I think that was worthwhile. And with that discussion in mind, I would move to authorize the publishing of the proposed federal fiscal year 2010 disadvantaged business enterprise goal of 0% due to the lack of registered DB vendors in the Campo area.
Okay, thank you, Member Kroll. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah, second, Member Aldean. All in favor of this motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The item carries unanimously. Okay, next item, F3. F3 is an information-only item, and this is information regarding a proposed amendment to the Campo FY09 to 2012 TIP. So let's see who, oh, there, Dan's ready to roll on this one also, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you mentioned, this is information only. Nevada Department of Transportation had requested that we amend the TIP to include construction of two bridge structures at Coons Lane and Clearview Drive as part of the Phase 2B of the Carson City Freeway. And basically, it's the language as listed in the table at this point. And we will, actually, a 30-day public comment period has been opened. And we will also have a public informational meeting, as always. And any comments that we receive will be brought to the board at the next meeting when we seek approval.
Okay, thank you. I think this is rather straightforward. Any members of Campo have any questions of Mr. Dengis in this particular item? Okay, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will these grade separations cut up access that's currently enjoyed?
I would probably defer any questions, if you don't mind, to Member Taylor, who may know more about the project.
Member Taylor, do you want to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can certainly answer that question, but as you know, one of the agenda items, F5, I believe it is our annual county tours, and my boss, Director Martinovich, will be presenting. So at that time, I think you'll be have the opportunity to ask all the questions you want about these grade separations. But to my knowledge, at present time, they will be not unlike the Fifth Street and the what's the other one?
Fairview.
Thank you. Popped out of my brain.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Member Aldi.
This is really not a question. It's more of a comment.
Okay.
You know, I'm personally very pleased that NDOT has requested an amendment to the TIP to include these grade separations. I think it's an important step forward in realizing the ultimate completion of the freeway, so I applaud their efforts.
Thank you, and the chair sure concurs with that comment. Any other members have comments? Okay, we'll go to the audience. Anybody from the audience? Again, recognizing that we will get more detail here shortly with agenda item F5. Does anyone have any comments, questions? Okay, looks like none. So I think, Dan, thank you.
Thank you.
And F3 is completed. We'll move on to F4.
This item is an action to authorize transportation manager to approve payment requests to the Federal Transit Administration. Very briefly, there are two primary computer-based systems that the Federal Transit Administration uses to apply for and to receive the funds that Campo now receives and processes and distributes to the member transit agencies, including Douglas County and Carson City. The first one's called TEAM. And that one apparently they don't require us to do anything too interesting with because we're just applying for funds. The second one is called ECHO, and that one requires hoops because that means they're actually going to be depositing money. So we have, we've been told that we need to have an official authorization because they want to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's. So we need an action from the CAMPO board. The attached form, there was an error on the one that was printed and distributed. The original is correct, and the one that Dan just distributed is correct. You can see that at the top, my name is in there as the transportation manager, and Charles Desjardins is in as the recipient organizational official. They want checks and balances. And then after that, I would only be allowed to view, but Keith Pearson and Dan Dendis would be allowed to receive ECHO user IDs. Additionally, the treasurer's office has already done a separate form to indicate which bank account is going into and to verify that it's not my personal account. So it's a lengthy list of checks and balances, and that's the long and short of it.
Hey, Patrick, thank you. I had paperclip problems here with F3 and F4. That's why I was slow getting to the gun here. So thank you for jumping in and handling that. Any members of CAMPO have any questions on this particular item? Okay, Member Aldine.
Patrick, did this require that we purchase any specialized software, or is it merely for access?
No, it's all the software is operated and maintained by the FTA, okay. And we, including Joel, have passwords and usernames and PIN numbers
so
and
we
all
just
that good stuff.
Interface through the Internet.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions from members of CAMPO? Okay, none. We'll go to the audience. Anybody from the audience have any questions or comments on this agenda item? Okay, looks like we have none. So I entertain a motion for this particular agenda item.
Mr. Chairman, I move to authorize the transportation manager to approve payment requests to the Federal Transit Administration.
A second
from Vice Chair Eschwein. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
None, and that motion is carried unanimously. Okay, let's go next to item F5, which is an action item. This one is action to approve the CAMPO portion of the Nevada Department of Transportation draft FY 2010 to 2019 Transportation Systems Project document. And we have the Director of Nevada Department of Transportation with us, Susan Martinovich. Thank you very much for coming.
And you're welcome, and thank you for allowing us to be here. You know, this is our yearly trek to all of the counties, and I must congratulate you. You all are the first. You're our kickoff county tour. So that could be good or bad, because if I seem a little disjointed, I am disjointed in a lot of levels.
Huh?
Didn't bring any hats. I have so many of them, I didn't know which one to bring. So, no, I just flew in from Las Vegas after 2 days there, so I'm just kind of playing catch-up with things. So again, and I have some great staff here that if there are some questions, they'll be able to answer them. Thank you, Dennis, for forwarding that question. I'm trying to think, what is the answer to it? No, we'll talk later. So, again, I'm Susan Martinovich. I'm the director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. Very happy to be here. And I would like to introduce my staff who is here before we get going. Thor Dyson is our district engineer. He's been in that position for quite a bit of time, and it's really him and his guys that you see out on the road for the plowing and for the striping and really doing the general maintenance that we have around Carson and Douglas and the Lyon County areas. Michelle Gardner-Lilly is with our intermodal planning section, overseeing a lot of the transit, a lot of the areas, especially in the transit, especially in the airport, the bike ped, and in that arena. Steve Jackson is also here from our, I know where you work, Steve, our roadway systems area, helps keep track of the inventory of all our roadways. Dennis, thank you, very key person to our agency, as well as Sandy Stanio, who helped put all of this together. So do appreciate the opportunity. What we're here today for is because, as I mentioned, this is part of our annual trek across every county in the state. And we don't have to do this. This is something that we do to try to provide more communication, let you know what NDOT's doing, and then to hear from you on some items of concern that you may have. And so we think that this is a great opportunity with the working relationship we have. And I do want to thank you all for the working relationship that we have, the staff, Patrick and Andy, and everyone on the all the members and all of the agencies. I just really appreciate what we're able to do, because when we're working together, we can accomplish a lot more. So what this is a part of the process is that there's workshops. We hear what you want. We kind of put the plan together. One of the constraints that we have is just because you want it doesn't necessarily mean it will be, because this first annual work program has to be fiscally constrained. And I'll get a little bit into our finances, but we put the plan together. We come out, show you what we've got, hear comments back, we'll finalize it. And then we take it to our transportation board for final approval, then submit it to the Federal Highway Administration as part of our statewide plan, and we get to start all over again. But by doing it yearly, because the FHWA requires it only every 3 years, by doing it yearly, we feel that, again, it provides more communication and we can stay on top of things instead of always playing catch up. Where we are as an agency is we have really been focusing on a couple key issues, integrity, honesty, respect, commitment, and accountability. We're working on performance measures. We think that sometimes we want to do a lot of things and do everything, but we really have to do the things with our limited resources that make the biggest difference. So we are establishing performance measures. They're in the area of customer service. We're timing our agreement processes. We're looking at permits to help streamline that area. Our safety issues, keeping people alive, is one of our key performance measures, as well as the efficiency in our project development, not only from the inception of a design to advertising, but also once it's advertised and actually open to the public, the contracting. So we're watching all of those members and developing ways to really measure them. We are also working to be more user-friendly and transparent. If you look on our website, we are very proud of our website, always room for improvement. So if any of you have tried to use it and have some thoughts on how to make it better, or we're open, willing for that. Just we want to get the information out. NDOT is a complicated agency between our federal monies and between everything that we do. And we touch people's lives. We touch almost everybody, and everybody is an expert in what we do because they all drive on our highways. So it's hard to give 10-minute snippets of what we do, and so that's why we're really trying to just provide some more fact and information that people could read at their leisure. And it's good reading, too. It's not like boring reading at 2 in the morning when you're sleeping. You ought to read it when you're awake, because it's really good stuff. Our successes, we've got still the top roads and bridges and condition and smoothness in the nation. I attribute that a lot of effort because we have been proactive and do pavement preservation work before it reaches badness. And so we're able to do it less expensively and quicker and less impact to the traffic. We're also in the top five for overall cost effectiveness, that we are a lean agency, that our staff gets to do a lot of things and has a lot of talent because we don't have a lot of staff, and in today's economy we aren't hiring a lot of staff. I've looked back at numbers of what our staff was in the 1960s, 1970s, and it's pretty much just the same, but we're putting out three times the work that we used to. Technology helps a lot, but it still can be a burden in that area. One thing I'm most proud of is fatalities in the state are down, almost 30%. They dropped in 2009 from 2007, and they dropped almost 30% 2007 from 2006, and we're still on the downward trend. People are driving less, but I also think that there's a lot of benefit that we've received from the efforts of our statewide strategic highway safety plan, which is not an NDOT plan, but a plan made up of the RTCs and Metro and law enforcement and education and hospital, and we've really been focusing on the areas to bring the fatalities down. So we're seeing quite a bit and really proud of that. Another thing that we're looking at and working on, especially in the Las Vegas area, is the TIM Coalition, which is Traffic Incident Management. What we found is that, and you've seen it when you go to Reno or even in your travels to Las Vegas, is when there's an incident, you've got major congestion and backup. 50% of all congestion is caused by non-reoccurring accidents or incidents in weather. That's quite a bit. And so if you can get those cleared off the road, you're reducing not only congestion, but you're reducing the secondary accidents. And so we've got a group of people that are committed to making sure those areas get cleared. That's tow truck drivers and the coroner's office and the inspections. And so there's new ways to do business, and we're looking at joining that. We've got a few programs in the department. I mentioned we're not just roads and highways, is that we do focus on our pavement preservation. Our limited funds mean we're going to be creative with our strategies. You've seen it in the last couple of years. We've done the micro seals. That's that slick black stuff. I really like that stuff in the white paint. That's like the prettiest stuff. That's landscaping right there. But we've got chip seals, and we've got other types of strategies, and so we won't be able to take care of the facilities as extensively as we used to, but I assure you that we will definitely make sure that people are safe in what we do and really look at that. We've got over 100 different tasks that our maintenance people do and are required to do. And unfortunately, a lot of it's garbage pickup. That's a poor reflection on today's society. And so we do what we can, but in the whole scheme of things, our focus is on the pavement, the guardrail, the siding, the striping, and sometimes the garbage may not be as picked up as people want. But we'll do our best, graffiti removal. We'll do our best because we know that those kind of things breeds it self-fulfilling, and so we don't want that to happen, but we do have to balance our efforts and our manpower. We all are still moving forward with our environmental stewardship program, our landscaping program, and I'll talk a little bit about the projects you have. And we have some other modes of transportation. We are into rail. We are into transit, the bike and ped issues. And just give you a little brief synopsis is that the department receives about $8,000 annually from federal highway grants, and we do the inspections. Carson City Airport worked closely on that. Carson City Airport received $9 million in the ARRA, that's the American Recovery and something Act, for runway and improvements. And so we work closely with that. The airport just had their conference here, and I think it was quite a success. And I thank our staff for helping facilitate that. One of the big things that goes with what we do is that we can't always widen to meet all the demands to meet congestion. You have to operate and manage the system, and part of that is keeping people informed. So we've got the 511, been doing that for a couple years, and what that is people can have a choice. If they can call, then they'll know, do I leave now instead of being stuck later? Can I take another route? What can I do? And so it's really educating people. We've had over 1 million hits on that, and we're constantly looking to improve it and provide people information. In Northern Nevada here, you see those big dynamic message signs over the road. We're going to be using those. We use those for accident incidents just to let people know. Again, it comes down to is that we can't keep things flowing all the time, but if people know and have the opportunity to make a choice, that's what we're trying to do is, again, provide information. One of the other areas is our current budget. Our budget was approved at the legislature, and you guys are so much nicer to talk to than some of my other presentations I've had to give. But one of the things that I'm very pleased that they approved is a new civil rights manager. It will be an unclassified position that will work directly for the deputy director in Southern Nevada. And this person will have the oversight of our civil rights program, our DBE contract, our DBE issues, the ADA, the Americans with Disability Acts, and our Title VII. So it'll just provide a more global umbrella view because we are committed to providing more opportunities for small business, small contracting firms, the WBE, disadvantaged or women business enterprises, and disadvantaged business enterprises. So we think that that's a great thing to be working on. The ARRA funding, a little bit on our funding. Lately, we have been spending, a lot of our focus has been on legislative activities and the ARRA funding. That the department, of the $27.5 billion nationwide, and what that compares to is typically in a year, of the a federal year. We receive about there's about $40 billion available nationwide. So the ARRA package stimulus bill had 27.5 available to the United States. So we received our formula share of approximately $201 million. There were a lot of strings attached with that money, and those strings even came out, are still coming out to learn. But one of the predominant ones was that 50% of the state's share. So of the $201 million, Clark County received directly just a sub-allocation off the top of $40 million. Washoe County received a sub-allocation of $10 million. NDOT received the rest of the $130 million. There was money towards enhancement projects, money towards small, basically areas less than 5,000, and then the rest for the state. So of the $140 million that NDOT received under our jurisdiction, half of that had to be spent, has to be spent by June of this, by this month, end of this month. We are on track to do that. We're pretty excited to be able to be able to do that, and that we're actually on track to spend all of our money. We're working closely with NACO and the League of Cities on defining the projects of which Carson City and Campo and the rest of the state would fall under to determine those projects. So we're pushing on that because I just need to make sure that we can get those projects out and be able to utilize the funding. So everything actually is moving pretty well. The Nevada also received $49 million for transit. And we've had some grant applications that we've made to try to get that money, approximately 5.9. What we're submitting our draft, and then once they approve it, we'll hope to hear back and get some money back for other projects, primarily bus shelters and some of the other projects that Michelle can answer. But we're seeking any opportunity to get funding. There's also money available for discretionary project. There's $1.5 billion nationally that's available for applications for projects, and really anyone can apply for that money. The department intends to fill out applications for I-15 South, a couple projects on I-15, project here in northern Nevada from Moana to the Spaghetti Bowl, and a project on F Street. We also had Carson Freeway in there that we will be looking at. I just have the challenge, and you all know it, I'm not saying anything new, is that I do have to balance the statewide needs and the growth and the items and the needs that are occurring in Clark County, but also recognize that just because Clark County is growing doesn't mean that the rest of the state doesn't have some tremendous needs. So we work very hard to make sure that there is something for all the states, or for all the counties. In general, our budget is pretty lean. It's for the next couple years. It's a $1.2 billion budget, but all of that, you know, goes to salaries, goes to maintenance and operations. And our budget is primarily from the gas tax and the federal funding that we get. Gas tax has actually been decreasing. Last couple months, we've been seeing it flat, so that's pretty neat, instead of on the downward. So I'm just going to be really optimistic on that. And our so what we do is made some commitments, is that our expenses are really about 70% of what we do goes towards construction, that we need to put the money to the roads. We have to do that. So it goes towards the construction and the engineering part, so that we are maximizing that. Now you might say, well, we need to do more, but the other 25% of the remaining 30 does go to the roads too. It goes to general maintenance. It still goes indirectly, but it doesn't go to contracts. It just goes to our general maintenance, and then about 3 to 5% goes to our administrative costs that we do, the design, and then just some of the requirements that we have of our federal funds. We have research money that we have to spend, and so it's just the general administration. So we really do focus on putting the projects, the money that we have, to the projects. That's where you get the benefit, is getting those projects on the ground. Our federal sources are grim and bleak, really, is that we're hearing some numbers that the Federal Highway Trust Fund will be running out as soon as July, for this year. And so we're waiting to see what sort of fix that they'll have, at least to address 09. This happened before about a year ago when they took $8 billion from the general fund and put it into the highway fund to sustain it for a year. So we're expecting something similar to that. But the transportation bill that we're currently operating under expires September 30th of this year. And so there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of talk, but we haven't really seen any action on it moving forward. Fortunately for us is between the efforts of our congressional delegation, Senator Reed, Senator Anson, and our congressmen and women, we have a voice, and that some of us in the department are very keyed in nationally and are on some national committees, and it's really kind of neat that they do respect what our needs are. So when some states like New York are saying all the federal money that you get should be allocated towards preservation, we've been able to say it will not work for a state like Nevada, Arizona, Utah. You need to give us the flexibility. If I choose to spend money on widening or on new freeways, I want to have that ability if that's what my state chooses to have. Don't make us just do preservation. And I can appreciate where some of the eastern states are coming from. They've got some bigger challenges than we do, but it comes down to seeking flexibility. We do have some focus areas. Even though the next 2 years will be really lean, we're focused on maintaining the system. We want to have a safe system. We are focused on spending all our federal allocations. That is key. And I've mentioned before, I think you've heard before, is the federal money just isn't, here's a pot of money, spend it as you want. When I was talking about flexibility, there are over 40 different categories of federal money, and projects don't qualify under all those categories. There, as an example, there's a big pot of money of the $250 million approximately we get, $50 million has to be spent on the interstate. And that's only Interstate 15 and Interstate 80, and that's only on pavement preservation. Can't do interchanges, can't do widenings. We've snuck in and done some passing lanes, widenings in the name of passing lanes, but you're very restrictive. And so our goal is to make sure we have projects ready in every single category. So while the money's decreasing, the design efforts and the project development efforts are still really on full alert so that we have projects ready to go and on the shelf. We are working with the contracting community to balance in-house work that our district forces will do versus contracting out. We appreciate the tough times that the contractors have, and so we're looking at putting more work out to the contractors. The fundamental issue that we're going to be looking at is that we need to be responsive to the community, and we need a quality project. So we're going to be looking to see, are we getting good bids for those that we put out? I'm not going to just put them out if nobody's going to bid on them, or you get one or two, or if the bids are so high. So we're going to really be looking to see what kind of work we get back. And I know that the contracting community is very anxious, and they will definitely rise to the occasion, as they always have, and work closely with us. So I'm excited about that. And then we're also going to be looking at future funding opportunities that we didn't receive anything in this legislature, but I know that with all the other issues that were discussed, transportation still came out as an issue for discussion. And so that was pretty exciting that it was still brought up. So we have a lot of homework to do between now and then to start pushing some of our initiatives. We'll still look at public-private partnerships in the form of user fees. We're still looking at a new way of collecting. Instead of gas tax, we're looking at vehicle miles traveled, VMT efforts. And we've got a research program going on right now in Washoe County and in Southern Nevada to look at that opportunity. It may or may not happen in Nevada right away. A lot of people may not agree with it, but it's something that's being talked about nationally. And again, I want us at the table to say what we think will work or what won't. And I need the research to back me up to say that. And so, again, it's just giving us an opportunity to have a voice nationally if and when this comes forward. So that's just a little bit of NDOT in a nutshell. And I'll talk a little bit about the projects that are coming up. And this is where it'll be a little bit disjointed. I could talk about NDOT forever on what we do, but the project specific might be a little weak here, so bear with me. Our enhancement program, that we've got a couple applications that were submitted, and we're going through that again. That's the North Roop Street bike lanes, and then the landscaping on the freeway, some additional landscaping. The Railroad Museum has submitted an application for their McKean Car Storage Unit, and I've talked quite a bit with Michael Fisher, the Director of Cultural Resources. That is one of their priorities, to help protect that car. We're working with some Hot Springs Road safety improvements. That was a project that was approved, and it's actually been completed. We've got some other projects that we've got coming up, and I'll just kind of hit some of the highlights of those. We've got about $30 million that will be in the Carson, Douglas County, in the Campo Arena. US 50, some of the drainage, a lot of drainage on the US 50 area, the storm drainage, has been an issue for quite a few years. We've got some projects out on Clear Creek and along the corridor that I don't know if you, what list you have, that we had two of them for about $30 million in the 2010 timeframe. Those are going to be moved to 2011 and 2013. But we are committed to doing those drainage projects just because of the impact that it has to US 50 and to the downstream areas. We've got a lot of flush seals. Primarily our focus is on US 50. But with your action today also, we will be working to add the grade separations and utility work, trying to make that fit. There was money that we had allocated to Carson City for the freeway for design and moving forward over the next 3 years, and we'll look to lump some of that together and put out the utility project. It really does need to be done before the rest of the freeway project comes through, so we will be working to see if we can get that to move forward and how to cross the T's, dot the I's kind of thing to get that. There is a landscaping project along the freeway from Carmen Street to North Carson Street. It's about a $2 million project through the transportation enhancement monies. Along with, we've got some cold mill projects on 395 down south, just fixing that roadway. So US 50 and 395 really are going to be the focus of our efforts in the upcoming year. And that really, just in a nutshell, is what we are doing in the area, doing for what the department is moving forward with. I know we've been working closely with Andy on some of the road transfer areas, and so our legal staff has been reviewing that, and we'll get back on to that. My staff is very committed, but I distract them quite frequently with other things, and so we'll as soon as I leave them alone, and they can get back to work, and so with that, I am seeking approval. This, I would appreciate an action, but also if you have any questions or comments, would appreciate those too.
Thank you, Director Martinovich. I have one question, maybe some others later. Is 2014 still a good date?
I'm not going to say it's a good date, but it's a date. We're still committed to the project. We just and that project qualifies for federal funds in categories, and so we're still moving forward. The design's good, and the effort of moving with this first project done will put it in place for that. So I would say at this time, under my jurisdiction, that's where it is. We're working with Carson City, and I know that we really want to get that project done. So it is still there, and will be there.
Yeah, I think it's important that the public hear that, because I think a lot of us get that question. Okay, thank you. Now I want to open up any questions or comments to members of Campo. Looks like Member Carpenter has a question.
No.
No. You were reaching for the button. Okay, Member Aldi.
Thank you. And Susan, thank you. We have enjoyed for quite some time a good, productive working relationship with NDOT, and we look forward to preserving that relationship going forward. You kind of alluded to the fact that with respect to the distribution of funds nationwide, that legislators are getting some pushback with respect to how to allocate those funds, because the East is not typically growing as quickly as the West. There is an attitude that those dollars should be spent strictly on maintenance projects. Is there a coordinated Western states lobbying effort? Because most of the Western states are still growing, and obviously they're concerned about getting adequate resources and adequate money for capacity building projects. Is there any coordination?
Yes, yes, there is on a few levels. There's some groups out there, the five states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and I can't remember, but they're smaller states. They've asked us to join. I don't want to join them. They have a little bit different issues. First of all, there's WASHTO, which is part of all of the states, the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials. There's a Western aspect of that, and so we are part of that with a voice. And then NDOT has it's not a lobbyist. We're not really allowed to lobbyist, but we have a person in D.C. who is very attuned to the efforts and actually is well respected. And so he touches with the other states' people in that same level, and we're able to provide a concerted effort in that regard. Also, the Western Governors Association, we work very closely with them, and we're able to provide input on their resolutions and what they also bring forward. And then I'll tell you some exciting news. It might be a little bit premature, but I have been recommended to be the 2010 president of ASHTO. It's really kind of cool that it's only every 4 years it goes by regions, and so it's a one chance in 4 years, and then there's 18 states in ASHTO. So for Nevada to be there, and that's right in the part of the authorization effort, so definitely we will have some say in that, and that's pretty cool.
Okay, other questions or comments? Member Kroll?
I just have one public announcement, Susan. On this Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're opening the Mexican Ditch Trail, and you're welcome to come out and do the 5K. And you can
didn't extend that invitation to anybody else at the dais.
Thank you, Mayor.
My bib number is number one, and I know that you'll blow
what?
By me pretty fast.
I will. I will respect that and not enter the race.
Okay, Susan, I got. I was glad to hear because about the strings attached to the stimulus money, and that you indicated that you were going to make or spend the money that's required to be spent by June. Now, saying that, obviously now there's some other dates involved, and I suspect the harder ones are to meet all the string requirements are probably in that time frame. Are we going to have a time or a problem meeting the future dates for stimulus money?
Well, thank you for asking that. A couple things that I didn't mention. Direct answer to your question is I don't think so. We have enough other projects identified that should some of them meet something that was unforeseen, because the criteria was you had to be the NEPA document, which you all, it's just a cumbersome process, and then you have to have right-of-way. Again, which is a difficult and cumbersome process. But so we've got projects and a lot of pavement preservation. We have pavement preservation needs across the state. So we're setting ourselves up that should other things happen, we can slip some projects in. But right now, Clark County's $40 million. They are moving very good on that. RTC in Washoe County is putting their money towards the Meadowood Mall interchange. They are making efforts on that. We don't see any issues in that regard. So we feel that we're in pretty good situation to do that. One of the really neat things that's happened is, first of all, there was concern about availability of contractors, that all of the states were coming out with these, and that would there be enough contractors to go around? And the answer is yes. There hasn't been an issue at all. And what's been neat is that we've seen a diversity of contractors throughout the state. It isn't just one or two getting all the jobs. It's quite diverse, which really makes it very good, and I think meets the goals of what the stimulus package was to do. The other thing that we're seeing are good bids, really good bids. And because of that, we were able to add three additional projects to pavement maintenance projects to the list. And so we're just setting ourselves up to make sure that we can do that. Also in the lists for the rest of the NACO and the League of Cities list, I have strongly encouraged them to don't limit yourself to the 7 million. You know, go 7, 12, I mean, even double it, because the bids could come in really good, and we want to have projects that fill in that gap also. So I'm excited. We have a year. It's February that the rest of the money has to be obligated. And then states that don't, the money will be redistributed to the states that do, and we will be in line to get that.
Member Aldi.
Susan, who recommended the sub-allocation system? Is it just strictly by population?
That's what it was. It was by population. The MPOs nationally are wanting more of a voice and more of a direct funding to them, and so that was through the the National Association of Counties and or Metropolitan Planning Organization. So that came out nationally.
Well, that's what confuses me because we are an MPO and we didn't get a sub-allocation.
But it was population. I think it was over 200.
The TMAs, yeah. There are two levels of MPOs, the regular and the TMAs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a continuing source of frustration because
we
don't know what we are. I mean, on the one hand, we're an MPO, we're a metropolitan planning organization. On the other hand, and we're metropolitan. On the other hand, we're considered rural. So we're kind of...
It's like those 8th grade, 9th grade years. Is that it?
Those awkward years, yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I just want to point out something positive. I understand that just this week, Director Martinovich personally broke a little logjam on some older Safe Routes to School grant that was going to get freed up. And that's obviously a positive, but the other positive is that that's an underfunding program that, as I pointed out a couple of months ago, that the school district got about $250,000 through the Nevada Bicycle Advisory Board, and the city got $500,000. That's something we're looking forward to working with and that on as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick, for bringing that up. I neglected to mention that. Yeah, I signed the agreement. I went in the office, signed the agreement, came here. So that's why I'm just,
Other questions or comments from members of Campo? Okay. If not, I think most of the audience is members of your staff. I suspect there are no questions from them. But is there any questions from anyone in the audience?
And I don't know if I answered the question that was deferred. Was it, what is happening is the freeway is depressed through that area. Once it crosses where it is now at Fairview, it starts the downward depression through that corridor. So Kuntz and Clearview will pretty much be at their elevation where they are right now. That was easier than lifting them up because if you see the terrain, you're dropping quite a bit from Edmonds down to the west, and we would never be able to touch ground until Carson Street. So they're depressed with enough clearance, and then right after Clearview, it starts coming up again, and we'll go, I don't know what it does over Snyder. We've changed it a couple times. It goes over. Thank you. Thank you. You want to work for NDOT?
Snyder goes over. Snyder goes over.
Okay. I know.
He stays with us.
So, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, Susan, you did answered the question. I think it was laid out before us. Okay. I guess we've opened up for everyone. So I think at this point we do have a formal action item. And I'd like to entertain a motion, if we may. Member Mallory?
I move to approve the Campo portion of the NDOT, Nevada Department of Transportation, draft fiscal year 2010-2019 transportation system projects document.
Second.
And I have a second from Member Aldean. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously, and I think that's what you want, Susan.
It is.
I'd just like to say if there's anything we can do relative to ASHTO, and I think that would be great.
Excellent.
The only negative to that, there's obviously a lot of work and involvement, probably travel to
just
D.C.
Just another hat.
Another hat, but you only have 24 hours in a day, no different than the rest of us. But I think that would be great for the state of Nevada, and whatever we can do to help that through the political process or others, we're here to help that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And it's always nice to see Commissioner Mallory. I hope you're having fun. So, All right, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, that takes care of our agenda items. And I think we have, we're to item G, internal communication administrative matters. G1, future agenda items. Patrick, do you have some items?
Well, as mentioned previously, the one thing for certain is we'll be back with that the TIP amendment for the $15 million for the structures. That was, it today is an informational item only.
Okay, one thing I wanted to ask you, in the May minutes, Member Taylor talked about, and I think, and you did too, about a travel demand model working group or something along that line. Is that right for including on an agenda?
Actually, where we are is where we're just now. That project isn't until the next fiscal year, which starts next month. But we're right now working with our consultant to negotiate a contract for next year to get that up and running. And we'll be collecting data in September primarily to support the model. So it won't be really kicking off until fall when the real intense modeling effort will take place. But we've already been talking with Mr. Lawson, who's the principal person at NDOT, about that.
Member Taylor, do you have anything to add to that item?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. I know that, was already mentioned in May, we have an excellent working relationship, and shortly after that meeting, I know that Patrick and Mr. Lawson, our chief of our traffic information division, had preliminary discussions about the formation and how we go about coordinating our efforts.
Thank you. Any members of CAMPO have an agenda item that they want to ask or include? Okay. If not, I think we're to the point where we're ready to adjourn. Can I have a motion relative to adjournment? Okay. 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 All in favor of adjourning? I guess aye. And we will have a 5-minute recess prior to the Carson Regional Transportation.
We will. By then, it'll be, you will have competed in regionals. The Western United States regionals are in Bakersfield. And then after that's nationals in North Carolina. Nothing done. That's what Jim Mallory said. Shelley, I have to tell you, today is a very important day, and Sabrina and I is my twins' birthday. But I got a hold of them. I had a long conversation with one of them, and Loretta I couldn't get a hold of, but she's probably hollering, no, she's being a soccer mom. Well, her two boys are very, very active, and she's hauling them around. Okay, she's going to start.
Good evening. I would like to welcome you to the meeting of the Regional Transportation Commission. The date is June 10th. It's a Wednesday. We're here at the Sierra Room at the Community Center. And I'd like to go ahead and have a roll call to determine a quorum. Kathy?
Chairperson Aldine.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Commissioner Mallory.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from the meeting of May 13th, 2009. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or suggested corrections to the minutes as presented? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the minutes of May 13th, 2009.
Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Moving on to item C, modifications to the agenda. Patrick, Andy, any modifications?
Not from staff.
Okay. Thank you. Next item, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the commission, but not on items agendized for this meeting. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please see me after the meeting, and I would be more than happy to calendar the matter for a future commission meeting. Are there any comments from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, move on to item E, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to disclose a contact with the public regarding any item on the agenda? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item F, the consent agenda. Does any member of the public or any member of the commission wish to remove an item from the consent agenda and have it heard separately?
Madam Chair, I'd like to remove F1, mainly just for discussion purposes, and also informing the public. I think this is an extremely important item that we alert the public to the work that's going to be done here in the near future.
All right, so we're moving F1 from the consent agenda. In addition, you have in front of you an errata sheet that Patrick has provided to us concerning items F1, which has been pulled for further discussion, and item F3. We can pull item F3, or we can merely approve it as a part of the consent agenda. As you'll notice, there was a clerical error in the amount of the contract, which has been corrected, I presume, in the final documentation. So does any other member of the commission wish to remove any other item from the consent calendar? All right. Seeing no requests for additional items to be removed, would somebody care to make a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda?
I move we approve the balance of the consent agenda as published with the changed item F-3 to identify the correct numbers amount that Patrick handed out the errata sheet, and understanding that F1 has been pulled for public discussion.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, we'll move on to item F1. Patrick, would you like to introduce this, and then Charles can ask his questions, clarifying questions?
Certainly. This item F1 is the what we refer to as the annual slurry seal contract, which is, in this case, it's a joiner with the Washoe County Regional Transportation Commission. The total value is $817,017.05 with a contingency of $82,000. This is part of our program that we have now, where we have the city divided into eight areas. And so the idea is that every eighth year, that area will receive this treatment, the crack sealing and slurry sealing. And this year, the section to be done is the northwest portion of town in Lakeview. And for
Timberline.
Yeah, Timberline, and I'm sorry, I don't have the map with me, but I know that the next year is the area approximately around where Sealyard Elementary is, bounded, I believe, by Koontz and Colorado in that area.
For the benefit of the public, would you like to make a distinction between slurry seal and micropaving?
Oh boy, I'll give it a shot. And and anyone feel free to jump in. I'll look over at Darren. Slurry seal is a much thinner maintenance treatment, and they're both termed as maintenance treatments, not structural, which has been key lately in our discussions about the stimulus funding, whether or not it was going to be an eligible activity, and whether or not ADA improvements be required. It is a non-structural improvement, but it is a maintenance, a life-extending treatment, but micropaving is one that has greater impact, greater worth, obviously greater expense, and one that we typically employ on the higher level roads on the collectors.
It's a small wearing
surface. It actually has a small wearing surface, exactly, and you use it on the bigger roads as compared to the more of our standard residential roads where we do the slurry seal.
So the micropaving, is it a function of the size of the aggregate in the
Yeah, it's a much heavier oil, and then it does have a small aggregate surface that goes with it.
Okay. And I guess my question is, we've been allocated $200,000 for micropaving through the stimulus funds, a meager amount, but is that going to be used on any of the streets that we're proposing to slurry seal?
No. We will be bringing you a contract to do the micropaving, which will be beyond the scope of the ARA funding. Because last year, remember, we did not award a piece of the micropaving project as part of the maintenance program because the bid was improper. I can't remember exactly why we didn't do it. But we're rebidding that this year along with the work that we'll be doing under the stimulus package. And maybe a little bit additional work. But those will be all arterial collectors, like Arrowhead Drive, I know, is one of those. Lakeview Drive will be one as well. There's several other roads.
Okay.
And those will come back before the commission, probably in July.
Thank you, Andy. Charles.
Several comments. One is I'm glad that we piggybacked onto Washoe County to help kind of lessen our workload. We have, for the public again, we have a multi-page listing of those streets which are we're going to be hitting later on this summer. I don't have the start date. Maybe it's in here somewhere, but I would suspect this is going to take an awful lot of coordination with all of the work here. And for those members or the members of the public who probably want to know when they're going to be impacted directly, make sure that we let those members of the public know either through our website or other particular items. That was one of my big concerns.
There is a notice requirement on the contractor to provide, and I don't remember the exact notice provisions, but to provide notice on a several-day notice, several-day before they do the project on any particular street. So there's a fairly good notice provision that's been working pretty well for us over the last several years. John Platt, one of our folks in the office that he's one that puts this program together and runs the program for us every year, has got it down pretty well and has got the notice provisions that go out, I think, on a like 2 or 3 day basis ahead of each time they do a street.
So there's one that goes out a few days, and there's also one that goes out 24 hour before. So
okay.
I would think, I mean, this is vacation season. Are we going to have some impacts or concerns from when somebody comes back off of vacation, all of a sudden they're stuck in the middle of a work project? Seems like maybe a couple of days early notice may not be sufficient.
The slurry seal program, it breaks pretty quick. I mean, it dries fairly quickly. So they you know, usually it's about a 4 hour period that it would take to be able to get back on the roadway. So normally it won't be a big problem for that.
And also, and I mentioned this to Patrick, I noted in Exhibit B of the 2009 street maintenance estimate, there is approximately $100,000 set aside for traffic control. So that does indicate that we are going to be working very closely with the public in notification as well as traffic control in those particular streets. As I told Patrick, I couldn't crunch the numbers, but I think 100,000 doesn't seem inconsistent with that size of project.
And they're not allowed to close any roads completely. It's just, you know, it'd be one lane at a time to allow traffic throughout the process.
I definitely want to make sure everybody understands. I support this program greatly, and it's greatly needed. And I think all of us on the commission get calls for when are you going to get to our neighborhood. And I think this is important to show that we're really moving along. And if we haven't got to you this year, we'll be getting to you in the next year or two. So anyway, thank you.
Well, it is an 8-year cycle, right? So, you know, it may not be next year, but eventually they'll be there. You know, I think that, Charles, as you say, I mean, people, it's a minor inconvenience because the slurry does dry very quickly. And I think that we're fortunate that we have the money, frankly, to spend on maintaining our streets the way we do. So any other comments by members of the commission regarding this item? Any comments from members of the public? Seeing none, Charles, would you care to make a motion?
Sure. Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. Action. Let me get I don't have it. Let me get the right document here. Okay, I move to authorize Public Works to join and utilize bid number 343009, 2009 preventive maintenance slurry seal, which was approved by the Washoe County Regional Transportation Commission as allowed pursuant to NRS 332.195, providing Carson City's approved funding and purchasing procedures are followed, and to award the contract for an amount not to exceed $817,017.05 and a contingency amount of $82,000 to be funded from the RTC Street Ceiling Fund as provided in the FY 2008-2009 budget. The fiscal impact is $898,718.05 and 76 cents.
And just for purposes of disclosure, we will not be doing these streets twice, even though there is a double listing in Exhibit B.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Moving on to F2, action to determine. I'll let you introduce this item, Patrick, or Andy. Who's taking it?
G1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
G1. Just making sure.
You're right. I am. Goodness gracious. I'm already ready to adjourn and go home. All right. G1, right. Presentation regarding the proposed designation of U.S. highways owned by the Nevada Department of Transportation.
This is an informational item. Representative of the Nevada Department of Transportation is here to discuss with us the changes that are forthcoming due primarily to the completion of Phase 2A of the freeway. The changes are regarding the U.S. highway designations for 50 and 395. And with that, I turn it over to NDOT.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Steve Jackson. I'm the Federal Programs Manager for the Department of Transportation. I handle the motor fuel allocations, handle the highway performance monitoring database. But one of the things that I also do is submit applications to ASHTO for route numbering and naming approval. And since we are completing Phase 2A of the bypass, we have to get legal authority to sign such, and that's what these applications are. The maps that are in front of you are maps that the Department of Transportation through me had submitted to ASHTO for approval. I just got notice yesterday that those have been approved, so we have authority to sign, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Steve, I just had a question. These dual designations, doesn't that create some confusion?
You know, we ran this around and around trying to figure out what was the best way to approach this situation based on the fact that we're going to run traffic down Fairview for a while until we get Phase 2B completed. And it seemed like it was the most logical thing to sign the way that we're signing. But one of the biggest things that we do is the business designation signing. And what that allows people to understand is that people who understand the concept behind that, they know that they're going to be able to leave the route that they're on, and if they want to go downtown and enjoy, you know, all that Carson City has to offer, they know that the signing is going to bring them back and get them back on their journey. So that's very important. Relocating what we call 50 and 395 through Phase 2A is just a guideline that we need to follow in order to continue to have the continuation all the way down until we finally hit right. Spooner. When this is all complete and we get sections of it completed up north, then we're actually going to ask for designation for it to all be I-580, but that will be sometime down the road. And that's a whole other process and a whole other application process. So,
because, I mean, we have an overlap of business U.S. 395 and business U.S. 50. There is some overlap, so you're just going to have a dual designation.
In that small section, we're going to have to live with that dual right. designation, because if people are traveling on 395 and they want to get off and enjoy the business, if they don't have that dual signing, that dual overlap, mm-hmm. they really could get confused at that point and not continue south and reconnect down in the southern portion of Carson City mm-hmm. on Carson Street. So for the time being, to be honest with you, we'll always have that dual overlap for that period, even mm-hmm. once we finally complete the bypass. Because it depends on what your destination is. Maybe folks want to go on 50 down south and then head, west to California on 50. They still need to understand that they're on the right road. Mm-hmm. So there's really no way to separate that at this point, and probably never will be in that area. Okay. As far as business designation goes, whatever plans that you may have for any development that you have on Carson Street, whether you want to narrow it, whatever your plans will be when you guys take that over, business designation does not stop you from doing any of the things that you want to do with that roadway. So you can develop it however you see fit, as long as the motoring public can travel down it and get back to their, connect back to their route. So.
Okay. All right, Steve, thank you. Any questions for Steve? Yes, Bob.
How do we put a sign up that says no trucks on Carson Street once we open Fairview?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think you'd probably have to check with our over-dimensional permitting people and see how that could be done, but it's definitely not something that I handle in my office. I would suggest that you start there, probably.
Well, I'm assuming that once we open the freeway from Arrowhead to Fairview, then the burden of enforcement will fall with our sheriff's department, correct? As opposed to, because the highway patrol will be confined to the freeway.
Not actually until we take the roadway for maintenance.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, so which right now is anticipated to be July 2010.
Right.
So okay. A year from now.
Right. I would think when you take the roadway for maintenance, then I would assume that you guys are going to have the authority to restrict truck traffic all that you want.
Yeah. So we may want to try to ask NDOT to restrict the traffic, though, upon the opening of Fairview and 2A.
Well,
I think it makes some sense to do that.
We're not agendized for that, but
under future agenda items, we can certainly add that to our list of future agenda items. You know, right now, as I recall, it may not still be there, but I mean, Stewart Street was designated as a truck route. Now, I don't know who's enforcing, if anybody's enforcing the use of Stewart Street as a truck route, but do you know, Steve, whether or not that's been at all successful in diverting traffic off of the downtown street?
You know, I apologize, but I don't have that information, so I don't know. I can't answer that.
Let's agendize that for a future meeting of the RTC so we can get some of these questions answered about how we, if we do post it for local deliveries only, how we can actually enforce the use of the freeway by through trucks.
Madam Chair, along that line, maybe now might be a time to bring up. I was going to ask, and Patrick and I have had a little bit of discussion, and I think several members of the commission before you arrived. I have a great concern of the Fairview left turn lane onto southbound Carson. Right now we're allowing three lanes to turn, and I was unfortunate to be in the middle lane here recently, and I was squeezed. I had a truck to my right and a large vehicle to my left, and I did not feel very comfortable in my car. And there's no striping or any kind of indication. I mean, I think we maybe ought to include that as an item. I mean, there's several different, not only is there a lack of striping, but I think relative to the truck traffic, I think we need to look at that carefully. I mean, we're going to have a lot more truck traffic coming down Fairview. Obviously,
I can probably answer that because this is certainly not in his. The striping issue is a Carson City issue because the intersection was constructed by us and it's not complete yet. We still have to go in and do the micro paving in that area and restripe that area, and that we're waiting for temperatures because it has to be done at night.
It's 60 degrees at night, so don't drive at that intersection.
So Andy, I don't think it's typical to do that, but it certainly would be helpful in order to keep people confined to their turn lanes and not crossing.
And we will have the cat tracks to keep them confined. But that intersection was, the three lanes was required as a part of the traffic modeling work that was done by NDOT and our traffic modeling folks to do the three lanes. That was part of the compromise that was done to move that intersection forward. So. You're right, it's a tough intersection. You get caught in that middle lane, it's tight, without a doubt.
Would you like to note that for the record? Or?
We'll do that, we'll put that on the next
one. Okay,
week.
All right. We have an added suggestion, but we'll deal with that at the end of the agenda. Okay, Steve, any other questions for Steve? Any questions from members of the public while we have Steve at the podium? Seeing none, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. This was informational only.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next item, G2, presentation regarding the mission, goals, projects, and philosophy of the Nevada-based grassroots organization, the Tahoe Foundation. Patrick, would you like to introduce this young lady?
Yes. Yes, I'm just going to get her presentation ready. The director of the Tahoe Foundation is with us this evening to talk about their activities. I know that I've... I'd be happy to push a button for you if you need.
Okay. I'm sure this will be okay.
I don't think you turned on the projector. Yeah. Hey, Dan, turn on the projector, please.
Grants.
Something waiting for me. Yep. when you're ready.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's see. Wait, do you want me to do another one?
Is that good?
Yep.
Okay.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Alexandra Profont. I am the executive director of the Tile Foundation and co-founder. I'm also one of your four Nevada State representatives to the American Planning Association and also an associate and student member of the American Institute of Architects. Thank you very much for having me. I'm humbled and honored, and I know this has been a long evening, so I'll try to make this as brief as possible. The Tile Foundation is an organization that started, is that working? There we go. The Tile Foundation is an organization that started largely due to the idea that planning seemed to be a missing component from the basin, ironically enough. While the TRPA exists there, planning on a local level, having been the executive director of the Incline Vision External Relations Committee, there was a lot of frustration from locals up at the basin about how to be involved, and all of the venues to be involved were public planning forums. And so one of the reasons we started the Tile Foundation was actually to address that missing component. And some of the people that we wanted to host that component for happened to be just regular folks wanting to participate in the preservation of the lake. That last slide, actually, with all the boats on it, one of the reasons we put that in is because we didn't want people to think that you couldn't love the lake and love your boat, too. The other reason we started the foundation, this is taken from the Thunderbird site, there seemed to be also a disconnect between how to take care of the land and land use and planning on federal lands with structures and how to deal with transportation from a local's perspective. There was no organization to actually accept this responsibility. So we want to ensure the continuity between the past, the present, and the heritage to our future. We aim to reconcile the way that it is. And we chose these photos because preservation through innovation, education, interpretation is where we're headed. And some of the challenges of the way it is, as you know, are these confused components that have come through the best intentions of the TRPA. We intend to focus on combining the CIP projects with the EIP program and to celebrate the BMPs. And the BMPs we're going to celebrate is transit. And the reason we chose transit is because transit is the only thing that has a scope that actually addresses migratory patterns. And in working with the Washoe people, there seemed to be an overlap between migration and planning. And it seems that everything was recreation-focused up there, and so to incorporate interpretation, migration was a way to do that. And there's a joke that we should rename the TMPO up there, the Tahoe Migrations Planning Organization. Anyways, we're focusing on three different concepts, and we have a deliverable. The deliverable is a Tahoe Wayfinder. The three different concepts are the indigenous species, reverent gathering, purification, and sustenance. This is our mission. Go ahead and read that. We're going to be focusing on transit shelters and public piers to create icons that the public can participate in. Also, students of planning, engineering, and architecture. This will be an opportunity for them to take place up in the basin and implement their work as student volunteers into the preservation of the lake. We're focusing on the allied design, architecture, and engineering fields. And the method that we're going to focus on, like I said, is this deliverable, the Tahoe Wayfinder. You have a copy of that in front of you. It's also an iPhone application. And we're focusing on wayfinding with the Washoe because the Tahoe Wayfinder is a platform that is both software, hardware, it's virtual, it's nuts and bolts, and it's also bricks and mortar. And we're focusing on the bus shelters because it's a way to look at seasonal or transitory planning and architecture. And as you know, the Washoe used to migrate to the Tahoe Basin and dealt with, you know, migratory structures. Well, the bus shelter is probably the closest thing that deals with that idea. We put this in there because the conversion of science into management is a huge issue with the TMDL. And the programs that we're suggesting you take a look at are going to address all 14 of those items, most of them having monitoring at the premise and core.
A moment. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with these acronyms because I sit on the governing board of the TRPA, but I don't know that the other members of our board are familiar with TMDL and CEP and EIP.
Okay. So sure, I'll sit down. The CIP is the Capital Improvement Program. The EIP is the Environmental Improvement Program. And the TMDL is the Total Maximum Daily Load. And as a result of the Lahontan Quality Water Board, as well as the Air Resources Board, they've realized that, you know, what Robert Bailey published in 1974, which basically said that the most of the sediment load was going to come from the urban upland, that's still true, but through a document called Charting the Course to Clarity, Lahontan Quality Water Board and their Resources Board basically put together about 8 inches thick of science to prove that that was true. And the TMDL is being addressed mostly through transportation projects. And one of the things that we're doing is we're organizing through the idea of planning, education, outreach, and interpretation with the Washoe people to address what we're trying to do in a transportation context. I include this drawing because it's not a new idea that architecture is actually a way to move through space. Part of the reason we founded ourselves, actually, is because to address this TMDL issue, one of the ways to address it is through landscape and landscape architecture. Using indigenous species is not a new idea. There was a Brazilian architect in the 20s named Roberto Burl Marx who proposed to bring the indigenous species up to a high art form. He did that. And actually, the residents in Rio joked and said, "You're going to bring the jungle back to the city?" Anyways, he did so successfully, and he was also an artist. And you can see that he designed the very famous walkway in Rio. And so part of what the Washoe and a lot of the folks in the basin were interested in was how art and the humanities can actually create a premise for participation. Again, it's not a new idea. Corbusier wrote a book called Towards a New Architecture, and throughout it, he talks about very simple things that are happening in the design to built environment and how they interface with transportation. We also formed ourselves because Richard and Dion Neutro were actually residents of Incline Village. They inspired Chuck Mertinger to start Sierra Nevada College. Chuck gave Richard his first commission on the San Diego Naval Air Base. He's known as the father of environmental design, also won a gold medal in architecture. He proposed the idea of research houses. We are proposing the idea that through the Wayfinder, transit theaters, and the bus shelter, they can also become small research houses to address some of the scientific components that the scientists are looking for as far as controlling and monitoring the TMDL. Again, we're doing this through planning, education, and outreach through interpretation. The planning that we're doing is we've organized the Washoe Elders. They've been meeting twice a month. We've also organized community letter writing campaigns. They came and spoke on behalf of the TRPA Governing Board and endorsed the Tahoe City Transit Center. So one of the very effective things we've been doing through this planning platform is that they have felt that other people are speaking on their behalf. And through this planning component, the Tahoe Foundation is basically providing them the rooms to organize, and they're actually coming out to support a lot of these public projects because they know that they're a way to improve water quality. They're also interested, in the idea of the transition zone. And the transition zone, if you're not aware of that, is an OSHTO way of approaching how to address migratory patterns with animals. So, for instance, a transition zone on the side of a freeway might be where they used to mow grass. Well, they're not mowing grass anymore. They're letting it grow so that actually animals can use that habitat. The other way that we're reaching out is through education. Education has actually been a manifestation of the planning because the Wayfinder that we're delivering has required an education component. So there's been an intergenerational learning that's been going on. It Mahawa means flat cedar, which is the name of our project, the It Mahawa Outreach and Interpretation Project. The Washoe actually used to use flat cedar. They used to manage wood, unbeknownst to a lot of people. They would plant the cedar in places that only they would inhabit. So we thought it was appropriate that that was the name, since we were going to be trying to coordinate where people were in a transit scope. The Tahoe Foundation would not be possible without many individuals. And again, our concept is indigenous species, sacred gathering, and sustenance and purification. Folks sacredly gathered on behalf of gathering bark for the Forest Service. We milled the wood. We gathered the material. The bark went to the Forest Service to create migratory housing that was built seasonally. And we did low-impact milling. We actually put this up there because the wood was blessed, and this mill is a way to sacredly gather the wood. The wood that's coming out of these these logs from the Angora, some private Angora fire sites, is getting put into our project. So we are salvaging the wood, storing the wood, using it, and then selling it through our project process. So the Wayfinder is actually a way to interpret Washoe and way to track multimodal migrations. You have the packet in front of you. The reason that the cards are separate and loose is because the phone application, it depends on which button you push, and it takes you to a different area. Part of the issue in Incline Village in particular has been how to locate yourself. And one of the things that's happened is three people died last year because they were on Tahoe Boulevard and couldn't get to the hospital. There was no way for them to actually identify or find a way to the hospital. One of the Washoe's ideas was, why couldn't we use these as not only a place to interpret indigenous information that could be helpful in an emergency situation, as plants might be, but also in a contemporary context, how to get to a hospital. So our first site is in front of the Rayleigh stop. So if you go to your Apple Wayfinder and put in www.wayfinder.com, it will pop up and it will communicate with the shelter on site and tell you how to get there. The frequency that we would use would not be GIS based, it would be local based. And this idea of a locally based frequency that would be an emergency management context is something that one of our board members has designed and patented. So there's the venue. Here's the concept, indigenous species. This is artwork done by our allied artists and designers. So there's a schedule. At present, there are no schedules in the shelters. So now there's a way to identify the shelter. There's a schedule in the shelter. It's very legible, large to read, very easy to read. And then ultimately, there would be a sign, the Imahawa Flat Cedar Shelter. So this is where we're at now. We're going to be doing a ribbon cutting in August with Washoe RTC, who is giving us a hold harmless agreement to actually roll this project out. And on the back of the shelter, there will be these installed. Behind these cabinets, which have been made out of the wood up at the Tahoe Basin that you saw that we had milled, is also a monitoring component. So this is artwork, again, that came through our education programs. And so, again, it speaks to indigenous species, the sacred gathering of the indigenous species, and then how people would sustain and purify themselves with the indigenous species at the shelter location. So we're starting with the Flat Cedar Shelter. We hope to actually get around the lake. This could become a very big capital improvement project, EIP project. And this is where we're hoping to go. This is just a conceptual drawing. Some of the things that could take place on a shelter site to address certain issues around snow management, snow monitoring, water monitoring, TMDL. And this hexagonal shape was actually taken and inspired by the structure of snow. And in each of these components, there could be a monitoring module. So while the scientists are looking for a way and a place to monitor the TMDL, this could be an opportunity to host that monitoring possibility. And then there could be, you know, an ultimate concept of, on certain sites, snow research, snow management that would be specific to snow. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, this is just an example of how the bus shelter could be used as a platform. Again, the Wayfinder is a virtual platform to host wayfinding in an emergency management and interpretation context. And these are the metrics that we're using. We are working with the National Architecture Accreditation Board, the American Institute of Certified Planners, to get students and practitioners a way to actually come out and participate, not only in the preservation of the lake, but for their continuing education hours and or their intern hours they need to get their licenses. The last thing that I haven't mentioned is a race about the lake. These shelters could also act as event hosting stations. And whether you're a Ferrari driver and you like to drive your Ferrari, we don't want to punish those guys, but we might be interested in trying to get them out of their fast cars. And if there could be an event like a race or a car show, maybe they would take public transit, and this could be incorporated into stations where certain things might be parked. Creativity Community was part of the program that created the artwork. That was where Washoe youth went to jail for doing graffiti. We interfaced with him. We provided him an opportunity to community service hours. He cleaned the shelters. And we taught him that instead of defacing public property, he could actually get paid to reface it and maybe go to art school too. Again, this is just photos of the materials that were used, the building of the components, and then the wayfinder and how the wayfinder interacts with the actual station. And this is our board of directors, our advisory board, and others who are willing to build relationships. And we hope that one of those folks or groups might be you. Thank you very much for your time. I hope that it was informative and not confusing. And I'm open to any questions if you have any.
Okay, well, Alexandra, thank you very much. It's an interesting integration of a lot of different components. So it may take us a while to integrate.
I know, it is. It's a lot.
Everything we've heard here this evening. But,
it's a lot.
Does anyone have any questions for Alexandra? Any questions from members of the public? All right, seeing none. Well, thank you, Alexandra. Yes, Jim.
I just want to share with you, Alexandria, I think you did a really nice job. And as I understand the project, it takes transit, public transportation, to the next level. You're doing something while you're in a bus shelter. And there's an interpretive thing, and it goes into history and a lot of good things. And for Lake Tahoe especially, I think this is just an excellent thing, and I wish you luck in moving it forward.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
You bet. All right. Thanks very much. Okay. Moving on to item G3, action to approve an agreement with the Carson City School District, which we don't have. Do we have copies of that agreement here this evening? And I hope it's not lengthy, because I suspect we'll want to review it before we approve it.
This is information.
In fact, it was, Dan, you emailed it out, correct?
Yes.
Clarification, we've got a conflict here. The recommended commission action is to move to approve an agreement, but it indicates on the board action form that it's informational only. Are we actually taking action this evening?
Yes, we are actually taking action. Let me see what the agenda says, just to make sure.
The agenda says action to approve, so you're properly agendized for an action item.
We're not reading off the board packet. We're just, what was posted is what will.
What's posted is what governs for the open meeting office.
All right.
Okay. So very briefly, we are building the, as you all know, the North Stewart Street Extension Project, which is a multi-million-dollar project that's making lots of good improvements. As we have been working on that project, we are doing so adjacent to the Corbett property, the school operated by the Carson School District. I was approached by school district administration from the offices of the school district to ask us about the possibility of connecting the sidewalk from where North Stewart Street will pass by the school property with the school itself. The most helpful thing I have to show you is the very last page of this packet has a diagram that shows where North Stewart Street will be going north and east past the site. There's a school in the north in the upper left corner there that has a sidewalk in front of it just at the door. But if we were to not complete this section of sidewalk, the existing conditions are that there's a curb and gutter. But not only is there not a sidewalk, there's actually a hill that goes up at a fairly good angle that would prevent anybody from walking from being out of the street. So the school district approached me and asked if there was something we could do to complete that section. We looked at it with our with the possibility of having it added to the project, because we already have a contractor on site and a construction manager on site. We've already had some design work done, and we can utilize the forces in place. And the key here is that the school district didn't just ask us to do it. They have volunteered to pay half of the cost of making the improvements, up to $30,000, which is half of the cost estimate that was provided to the district. So I'm happy to report that this agreement is agreeable to them and was signed just this morning by the superintendent of the school district, Richard Stokes. And if the resolution and therefore agreement is approved this evening, we'll be able to move quickly to get this done in a expeditious and cost-effective manner, seeing that we already have the contractor in place.
Obviously, it's a very good bidding climate, but in the event it exceeds $60,000, do we have the right, pursuant to the terms of the contract, to cancel the agreement if we elect to because of funding issues?
Frankly, I don't believe we do, unless it's in the language you added, Joel. However, we are quite confident of what we have because the design work has already been undertaken, and the contractor's in place, and we're fairly confident. And on top of that, we are actually looking to add this to this project. But I will note that RTC has also designated a portion of its funds this year to be used for sidewalk projects, which has not yet been expended this year. So we do have the funding available.
We are very confident that this will not come in over $60,000. Our estimate, what we used was the bid prices that we have on the project to get to the $60,000 number. So the contractor cannot come in over that because we have bid numbers. In fact, he should be somewhere below that. Okay. So,
well, in view of the fact that each of the parties to the contract have obligated to spend up to $30,000, if it were to exceed that amount, then it would require the parties to come back to the table to renegotiate, because it would exceed, obviously, their obligations under the terms of the contract. So I presume we'd have to sit down and amend the contract.
Actually, that's not how the contract is currently written. The contract is currently written that we will perform all design and construction activities needed to construct the sidewalk and the retaining wall. And what the school district agrees to do is pay one half of the cost of that, up to $30,000.
But then it also says that we're not obligated to pay more than up to $30,000, doesn't it, somewhere else in this contract? Or
no.
Does it not? Maybe that's in the, let's see, I saw that.
Pay to RTC one half of the cost for the project up to $30,000.
Correct.
It limits
the school district. RTC is agreeing to take on the performance and the construction of the contract.
Well, it does say the district will pay. It's okay. The RTC up to $30,000. That's under mutually agreed. Okay. So any overages there, well, in fact, would be the
RTC
obligation of the RTC.
Right.
Okay. Well, Darren, we're relying on your conservative estimating that this is going to come
sounds
in
good.
$60,000.
And I will say that Mark Koronek, the person who's been working with me closely on this, was actually here earlier this evening, and he wasn't able to stay. But he did come to express his support for this, and I very much want to express our appreciation of the school district for working with us on this. It wasn't just a blank, please do this because we asked you to. They actually putting up $30,000.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Yes, Charles.
Madam Chair, I may be a minority of one here, but generally I don't like things dumped in my lap like this that I hadn't had a chance to study. Is there a problem if we wait and consider this next month? Do we have a timing issue here?
We do, actually. Yes, the contractor is out of work, and my apologies. I thought this had been distributed, at least in the version that didn't. The only difference from the draft is the fact that we've added this attachment to the end, and I was under the impression it had been distributed.
It's likely the contractor will be done in July with the project, so this would be part of that project, and we wouldn't be able to assure that it could be done if we continued to July and went forward after that.
Well, I will say that under the mutually agreed provisions, it does say that the contract can be terminated unilaterally by either of the parties. So I suppose theoretically, if it came in over $60,000, we could exercise our right to terminate, which provides us with a modicum of protection.
That all said, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yes, Bob.
Who ends up? Oh, Charles, I'm sorry.
No, Darren started to talk. I'm sorry.
Who owns the sidewalk and the retaining wall? And are they different owners, or?
It'll be a city owned.
Okay. Any other questions by members of the commission? If not, we'll open it up to members of the public. Any comments by members of the public? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. Somebody care to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve an agreement with the Carson City School District that provides for the sharing of the cost of a new segment of sidewalk along the north side of Corbett Street between North Stewart Street and the Corbett School property, with a fiscal impact. The total additional cost is estimated to be $60,000, with $30,000 to be reimbursed to the city by the school district.
Up to, I believe. Okay. All right.
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. And one abstention. Four yeses and one abstention. And I appreciate and understand your concern, sure, Charles. All right, moving on to the next item of the evening is H1, Bike to Work Week results. All right, Patrick, are you handling this?
I will, but in the only very limited fashion that it needs, just that there was a successful Bike to Work Week with significant participation citywide, both number of persons, number of miles, and use of the Jack Transit system. And I'll point out that there was even a team of Carson City employees, including people from numerous departments.
Led by you.
Well, I was the one that reported all the numbers, yes. And I did ride my bike every day.
Okay, well, congratulations to everybody who uses some form of transit other than an automobile. And I know that applies to at least one member of our distinguished commission, who spends a lot of time on his feet. All right, Patrick, thank you. Any questions or comments regarding H1? Moving on to the next item, H2. This is, again, strictly informational. Patrick, did you have anything to add other than what's contained in your memo?
I believe that was as thorough as necessary.
Okay. Any questions by members of the commission? And we'll move on to item H2, which is our monthly status report on work accomplished by our Streets Operations Division. Any questions or comments regarding H2?
That's
H3. All right, moving on to the next item, H4. This is a report that is updated on a monthly basis by Darren, our Deputy Public Works Director. Darren, I did have a couple of questions regarding this month's report. On the, page numbers, this is on the Telegraph Carson Street to Plaza Street project. It indicates that the project is part of a settlement agreement with the Carson Nugget Casino, but I think the parameters are different, and I'm a little confused. The settlement agreement that was negotiated between Carson City was with the Redevelopment Authority. It's the Redevelopment Authority's obligation to, and in fact that money has been set aside, to either assist the Carson Nugget with their improvements should they submit a plan before the end of this year, or to use that money to improve various areas around the Carson Nugget in addition to the left-hand turn signal at Robinson and Carson Street. So I'm wondering, this seems to go beyond what was envisioned in the settlement agreement with respect to improvements to Telegraph. Can you maybe expand on this a little bit?
I'll try.
Okay.
I think this was a pedestrian project that was planned some time ago, before the settlement agreement, and then it's been held up now pending what's going to happen with that agreement, and then this project would proceed independent of that at some point in time. But that's my recollection. I'd have to go back and look.
Okay, so we have multiple cards in our hands, and we're just wondering which card to play depending upon how this is ultimately resolved with the
Nugget. I think that's right, yes.
Okay, all right. Well done, Darren. That was an excellent answer. and then on Gonai Road, I'm a little confused by when you look at some of the NDOT documents, the Carson Area MPO, the STP Enhancement Project list is from, I believe, from Arrowhead to Conestoga. This is from Arrowhead to South Sutro. I think we're looking at the same funding source. So what in fact are the parameters of the project?
I'm going to find it here, but okay. I believe our parameters are the ones you should follow.
And then there's a difference between NDOT's estimate of $638,000 and ours of $714,000. So is it only partially funded through funds received from state sources?
If I can add, for sure. In fact, Member Taylor was talking about this with me before the Campo meeting. Indeed, the total is approximately $752,000, and where it lists the grant fund, which in this project report before you, that is correct funding from enhancement, and the RTC portion is that 5%, $37,600. Those are the correct numbers. Yeah, we're right.
What was the total for the grant amount?
Oh, the grant is $714,400.
Okay, so those figures are correct, and, yeah. And the scope of the project is to...
It is Arrowhead to South Sutro.
To South Sutro, not beyond to Conestoga.
No.
Okay. It was previously pulled back shortly because it was determined that the funding available would get us only to Sutro, not to Conestoga.
Okay. We tried to extend it.
What we might want to do then under project location is amend that just to read Arrowhead to South Sutro so people aren't confused about the scope of the project.
Will do.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, those are the only questions I have. Any other questions from members of the commission? Yes, Charles.
I have a question on the Stewart Street extension to Curry Street. That project's been hanging around for a long time. I take it that we're looking at not doing anything until after 2012, 2013, since there's like 300,000 not accounted for.
Yeah, right now we're just doing the studies of that area. Actual construction is definitely out there a ways. We just met this week actually with the Forest Service and discussed with them. We're going to have to take some of their property and do some relocation. So we presented our preliminary designs to them and got their input and basically a pat on the back out the door and come back to us when you have these answers. So there will be extensive preliminary design before we can construct anything. It's definitely ways out.
Okay, so the Forest Service is not saying no or hell no at this point. or because again, those individuals change quite frequently, and so you may get a different reading from a different district ranger.
They did make a point to say that we had been there four or five times before, and they slammed the door on us. But welcome back, anyway. They didn't. I mean, they have concerns, but they also were willing to work with us. So we feel like this can go ahead.
Oh, good.
Well, okay. Darren might you know if. If we have a receptive audience, then now's the time to strike before we have a change in personnel.
That's right.
People who are less receptive to the idea of cooperating. Okay. So,
we'll keep that.
Madam Chair, yes. I think receptive might be a little bit too strong of a word.
All right.
They were very helpful in identifying some issues with us, and there will come a point where recently we brought before you a couple of design issues with Roop Street. For example, for Washington Street and the possibility of having a short section being a one-way, at some point we're going to need to, after we work through some of the issues identified, bring that to the RTC and show you, at least on a conceptual level, what we're looking at. But obviously it was helpful to get the input from the Forest Service to let us do some more modification before we bring it to you.
Okay. All right, thank you. I do have one other question on the landscaping on the first phase of the freeway. Where are we? I mean, we approved $150,000 for design in October of 2007, and it's now June of 2009, and we're now changing consultants.
I can't, and Andy can give you more history if you'd like, but I can tell you the last 6 months we were had negotiated a contract and were ready to go forward, and our consultant that we had selected ended up going out of business because of the times. So we had to go back to our list and interview the next three and pick the most qualified. And so we are now negotiating again for the landscaping. Prior to that time,
it was mostly just working through the agreement with NDOT, which took 2 years to do.
Right. And I'm assuming that none of the funding that was allocated for this project is in jeopardy because of the delay.
No, it's still fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions by any other members of the commission?
You said you covered everything.
All right. I was thorough, huh?
You are.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next item, which is H5, and I think this is something that Commissioner Kroll requested, and that is that we receive monthly updates from NDOT's project status report.
Right. The only thing I want to note here is that these do come out each month, but it's not always the same time of the month. If we'd received one, you know, in a timely fashion we've gotten to, we haven't gotten this month's, for example. We haven't gotten the June update yet, so, of course, we provide you with the most recent that has been distributed.
Okay. Any questions or comments regarding H5? All right.
Good to see you.
That's a no. Moving on to the next item, which is H6, future agenda items. Just a question, is somebody attending the public information meeting that's scheduled for Thursday, which is tomorrow at 4 p.m., regarding storm drainage and erosion control improvements along US 50? Darren, are you going to?
I'm not, but one of our staff is.
Okay, terrific. Yes, Russ.
I would like to have probably next month, if at all possible. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like next month, if at all possible, to have on our agenda some information on how we plan to manage the truck traffic through and around Fairview and Carson Street, that intersection. As it pertains to the freeway opening. And I also want to get some information on signage to see whether or not we've got plans to have the trucks pointed in the right direction to go to Reno. A lot of these trucks come from the Los Angeles area, and they have no idea at this point where to get, how to get to Reno if they can't go straight up Carson Street. And turn lanes, truck turn lanes at that intersection, you know, pretty much the whole gambit. But that's kind of what I'd like to see. Thank you.
Okay, you're over there taking copious notes. Yes, Patrick.
And, well, and just a few other things. There's going to be we'll have our long line striping contract that we do every year. We'll be next month, just barely missed this time. The micro paving that Andy mentioned,
hopefully,
and the and once again, hopefully, the we can discuss further the agreement with NDOT regarding the
agreement.
Yeah, the
street abandonments
should be ready.
Okay, all right.
Further relinquishment of the roads, and speaking of relinquishment of roads, the Nevada Department, the State Transportation Board did meet to relinquish that that 2.56 miles of road from the roundabout at Fairview and Fifth Street to the east, and then Carson River Road and around. So that did happen. We're just waiting for the final official stamp documentation.
Okay. Well, no big surprise that they wanted to relinquish those streets. The one thing I didn't bring up, and I'd like to discuss it, I did thought it was probably not appropriate to remove one of the impacted items from the consent agenda. But going through the standard service contract, I'd like to discuss maybe on as a future agenda item some amendments to our standard contract that raises the bar for our contractors. There's some terminology here that kind of disturbs me, allowing them to persistently or repeatedly refuse or fail to supply properly skilled workers or proper materials, to persistently disregard the laws and ordinances. I mean, I don't think we should give them that much latitude. I mean, allegedly, the people that we hire are qualified contractors. And they're the best among their peers. And I just don't think, unless the law requires that we give them this sort of latitude, and Joel, maybe you can address that at a future meeting, that we should give them that latitude voluntarily. I think we need to demand that they perform effectively and efficiently and professionally. And I think if they repeatedly refuse to do something that is required of them under the contract, or they flagrantly disregard the laws in a persistent manner, then we've got the wrong contractor. So.
Brilliant.
If we could maybe address that at the next month's meeting, that would be great. Okay. All right, Joel. Okay. All right. Anything else for a future meeting of the RTC? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. A closed session? All right. 3 minutes. We have a 3 minutes closed session, all right? Absolutely.